back once again, episode 9, Scissor Tail Podcast. Co-host A, Porter Cunningham with you here. Co-host B, as always, my good friend Will Bowersox. Will, say hello to the people.
Co-host B. I'm the star of this damn podcast.
Co-host A and AA.
Greetings, loyal listeners.
What movie is that where he says, who's dumb and who's dumber? Who's dumb one and dumb two?
I have no... I mean, it's got to be
Is it Super Troopers?
Oh, man. Great question.
All right.
I'm not sure.
We'll research that and get back to you in episode 10.
Retreat for Will. Favorite for Porter.
Okay. Let's get into this. Corrections from last week. I didn't see any actually come over the airwaves. Of course, we've only been live for a couple of days.
Right.
On a crunch schedule.
I think we just got some more clarification on how the pieces fit in together.
Right. So shortly after we recorded last week, in fact, the day after, I think, the team made 3 more player announcements, which we're going to talk about anyways, which answered our silly question now that we look at it. I think I even may have mentioned, I don't know if it made it to the final cut, but I know I mentioned if somebody's phone auto-corrected player names, which was stupid right. Because the 2 players that we did not know were Footy Danzo and Ryan Johnson from the 3 player signings last week. So both of them were in the starting 11 for the final game of the preseason against Jacksonville. So Footy is a Gambian defender with quite a bit of MLS experience, played for both Portland and Montreal.
Does the Fuddy Wop when he scores a goal.
Does the Fuddy Wop, yeah. What's the Fuddy Wop?
I don't know. Is that a rapper?
He's Fetty a Wap? Rapper. Does he have a dance?
Probably.
Does he dab on him? different rapper.
Different rapper.
Last played for fellow NASL side Carolina Railhawks. I thought it was funny that the club used his Portland picture, even though he played for Carolina last year.
It's just some good marketing right there.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody tweeted that was the NASL standard. Always find a picture of them when they're at their top. Which is the same for Yuma, Javier Monsalves, who we mentioned and was in the starting 11 last week.
Would love to hear this. The genesis of his nickname is Yuma.
I do not know where Yuma comes from, but I do know he is a Vallecano boy.
Yuma, though. Best friend.
He was born in what would you call it? No, not neighborhood. What's the Spanish word for neighborhood?
Barrio?
The barrio of Vallecano. He came through the Vallecano Academy system.
He's from Vallecano proper.
Right. And he's actually played for Rayo Vallecano. So, again, when they announced the player signing, they went back, and it looks like a straight... Yuma's been around for a while.
Got it.
So, it's like an early 2000s Vallecano jersey, very baggy-style jersey.
Sure.
Pretty sweet.
That is pretty sweet.
So, tell us about the third signing, Will.
So, this guy named Ryan Johnson. He's Jamaican. So, it's actually great, you know. So, we've got... You know, the communist wall just fell over in Jamaica, so now we should see a lot of players coming over.
I think you're confusing that with Cuba.
Oh, I don't know. I guess democracy just makes me crazy. No, but Ryan is he's kind of a journeyman of sorts. He has MLS experience, but he most recently played in the K-League. So I guess I don't know what was his.
There's your communism in the K League.
Was he was his picture from featuring an MLS jersey or a K League jersey?
Yes, his also was a Portland Timbers jersey.
Noted. Well, I haven't seen the guy play. I don't know a thing about him, but I'm just guessing that he's going to provide some good depth on the bench and maybe can break into the rotation, and get some minutes. We'll see. Yeah. Maybe he's the kind of guy that's going to play while Samaras, you know, kind of regains his form.
Yeah, I think from the highlights that I saw, again, it's a guy who can score goals. So we'll see if he can do it on a hot night in UConn.
Yeah, hot night in UConn. All right, hey, season 1 starts this week. Segment 1 of episode 9 is concluding now. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll talk about FC Edmonton, the week 1 opponent.
Well, Welcome back. Episode 9. Niner.
The Nocho.
The Nueve? Nueve. We better practice up on our Spanish.
Yeah.
Especially if we're going to go to Madrid for the postseason friendly with the mother club. We've got our first game, the very first game ever, real match.
Finally.
The first game in Rio OKC history, the first professional soccer game at Miller Stadium, the first NASL game
in Oklahoma.
It's a monumental week here in Oklahoma at the Sister Tail Studio. And who's our first opponent, Will?
We are playing a team called FC Edmonton.
The Eddies.
The Football Club of Edmonton. And honestly, this is really terrible. I don't exactly know where Edmonton is, other than that it's in Canada.
But Alberta?
It's the westernmost club in the NASL.
That's
correct?
Right. That's right. As we know, because we'll be talking to these guys later on this evening, at least I will, they're Mountain Time Zone.
Oh, they are.
So they're on Mountain Time Zone. So go north. They're kind of on an island out there by themselves. I remember listening to the Loyal Company of the River Valley, who I'll be talking to later tonight. And they were talking about how when they travel to Puerto Rico, how far that's going to be for them. That's quite a jump.
I mean, I think any trip they're making this year is pretty far.
Yeah.
I always skipped Canadian geography class in middle school, so forgive me. But here's what we know about them. So they're, I guess by NASL standards, kind of old. They entered the league in 2011 season, have enjoyed really no significant success, unless you want to call being a sustainable team that's lasted for 5 years success. Never made the postseason. There's two ways to look at this stat. So the stat is their average attendance last year was just over 3,000 per game. I believe that's the lowest in the NASL. I could be wrong, but one way to look at that is that's bad. Another way to look at it is that's good. Their stadium actually only seats 5,000.
Yeah, like 5,000, 5,500 maybe.
So you could say they're operating at over 50% capacity. That could obviously improve by 100%, but that's not bad at all. So tell us about some of their key players, Porter.
So from what I could drudge up on their roster and just reading about their preseason and their past seasons, some big names that we can expect to see on the ball a lot on Saturday will include Nick Ledgerwood and Dustin Correa, as well as Adam Eckersley and Daryl Fordyce in the midfield there. Tomi Amiobi.
It's a fun name to say.
Will be one of their forwards up top. I'm not sure what we can expect in terms of formations. I do know that Nick Ledgerwood is somewhat of a Canadian hero. He is on their Canadian men's national team. And Daryl Fordyce in the midfield there is their leading goal scorer of the club all time, I believe. So if any goals come from FC Edmonton on Saturday, look for those names.
So worth knowing is Edmonton, their team completed a preseason trip to Scotland, so hopefully they're still jet lagged, but they probably played some pretty decent sides. So we'll just have to see what comes about. I wish we had a better analysis. We've never seen them play before. So
yeah, we promise our previews will get better as the season goes on. So,
well, Porter, do you want to make a host A prediction, and I'll make a host a double A prediction?
Co-host A's prediction is a Rio OKC victory to the tune of 4-1. The first victory in the first professional soccer game in UConn in Rio OKC history. What do you think, co-host AA?
I think that Rio will score 19 goals and Edmonton will score 3.
So 19-3. It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
I'm targeting a plus 16 goal differential after week one of the season.
Okay. All right. Ambitious.
All right. So that wraps up segment two. We'll come back with a scorching free talk. And by scorching, I mean free as in democracy. Peace out. We'll be back.
Thank you. All right, we're back. Free talk, episode 9. Will, the USL started their season this last Saturday. Every USL team, I believe, is now covered, at least in their local markets, by a television. Live coverage, live broadcast. I myself tuned in to the Energy match against the Colorado Springs Switchbacks. Watched it on KSBI Channel 52, which is not Channel 52 on my AT&T Pooverse. But there was some talk around the league about the coverage of the USL. Did you see any of that? Did you see any of those comments?
I did not. I don't really have a lot to add here other than the recap that I read of the Energy game in the Daily Oklahoman. Or I should say the Oklahoman, whatever it's called now. But I'm curious, how was the coverage? How was the picture? I guess actually now that I mentioned, I saw some tweets that said it wasn't exactly the world's greatest stream, but that's different from it being on the local channel.
Yeah, I think some of the comments that I myself posted on Twitter, it was really cool seeing it. I think it speaks a lot to the growth of soccer in America that both the second and third division will now have live coverage of almost every team in multiple formats. The stream, the channel itself was a bit choppy at times. There were some strange camera angles, which you might chalk up to the fact that playing in a smaller stadium, it's kind of hard to get a nice wide angle.
Yep.
But overall, it was nice. The coverage was great. The color and play-by-play were great. And in fact, an interesting note that I saw today is both the color commentator and the play-by-play for the Energy game also are employed by BN Sports and do coverage for BN Sports.
Oh, wow.
So, if they were actually in a booth calling the game, which I'm not sure they were.
I think BN's MO is they have their studio in Florida, and then they're watching the game, and then like maybe they're broadcasting on like a 3-second delay for the broadcasters.
Okay.
I've read a couple articles where they've talked about that.
Yeah, that makes sense because, it was interesting to see that and then hear, you know, at the same time as that, the NASL is working with BN Sports on the deal, which we talked a little bit about last week, and we heard today, which is today's March 28th, Monday. It's pretty much a done deal. It's just a formality at this point. And in fact, if you go to your TV guide, you get BN Sports, you can see Miami FC at Tampa Bay, I think. I think those are the two teams. On the schedule for Saturday night.
I guess the programming schedule is always subject to change, but it's certainly a good sign that it's in there today.
Yeah, they've already slotted it. So, so BN Sports, hopefully that'll be one way. What are other ways that Rio OKC fans can watch the team play, both home and away, if you can't make it to the games? Do you know what the other ways are?
So you can watch on Cox, the local Cox channel.
That's right.
I don't know the numbers.
703, I think, is the HG, which I don't have Cox. So, but you don't have Cox.
Don't have Cox.
So, we're going to have to go to my mom's house.
I'll be there.
So,
Karen, if you're listening, I'm just saying I love Luigi's Pizza.
Yeah.
Maybe some, like, Dos Equis.
Yeah. We're going to make sure she has a full spread for all the away games. This, of course, only being if we don't have a spot on the team charter to go to the
Warriors. Oh, yeah, I forgot we'll be on the team charter.
Yeah, yeah. We'll be covering it live from the press box in Miami.
Eric, if you're listening, I love Luigi's Pizza.
If we could get just like 15 Luigi's Pizzas on the team charter for the pregame right. Or postgame.
I'm talking about in-flight.
In-flight. Okay.
You can watch on Cox. I don't know if there's a stream, unfortunately, a legal stream, that is. But I think the lowest percent that you are watching at home this weekend, you're going to watch Final Four action and your local soccer team. Do you choose to watch on BN or do you go the Cox route? I personally am really interested to hear how Rogers and Lisenby do.
Yeah, I think so. Here's the way I understand it playing for Rio specifically. BN Sports is going to cover one game a week on Saturdays in the spring.
They're not going to cover the league as a whole. But almost every team in the league has a local partnership. So every Rio game, say four, in the fall season will be covered on Cox.
Got it.
Then there will also be the One World Sports, which is a live free live stream. We'll do a game of the week. And Rio is featured three times there, as we talked about last week.
Got it.
So your only option, if you're in Oklahoma City and you want to watch Rio every game, is going to be the Cox channel. Or you can buy... BN has an online arm, football.tv or something like that.
Oh, yeah,
it's
$10
a month or something. And I don't know if that gives you coverage to all of the NASL or just the BN Sports NASL.
I did a free 3-month trial of that back in the day.
Yeah. Is it good?
Watching Bundesliga. I did. Yeah, it is. It's really good. Okay. It's really Fubo.tv.
I think so. Yeah.
Recommended highly, actually. Okay. If you want to spend the money.
All right. So there's another option for you.
Well, let's talk about if you are going to the game. What do you think we should expect to see from an attendance standpoint?
I can't see a sellout. Obviously, right. I think that's in the less than 1%.
There's a lot of Sooners fans in the Oklahoma City metropolitan area.
Yeah, so obviously for those people listening who may not be college basketball fans, the Oklahoma Sooners play at tip at 5:09
Central
local time in the Final Four. So that's a pretty big deal around here, first time since 2002. So we expect the casual sports fan, or even more than casual sports fan, will at least be watching that before making their way to Miller Stadium.
What time is kickoff?
Kickoff is 7, I believe, on the dot or shortly thereafter.
So you can watch most of it. You can come out and, you know, hit the beer garden and tailgate.
Yeah, and we have yet to confirm, but we're pressing hard on the front office to pipe in a live feed of TBS to Miller Stadium.
Right.
It's unconfirmed reports as of yet, but we'll keep you up to date via the Scissortail Pod Twitter account if the front office can make that happen or not.
Surely.
So I would say over 2,000 people would surprise me.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I'm just going to say I think 3,000, 3,500 is where they come in.
Okay.
That's about half, right?
And I mean, no offense to anyone in the front office by that. I know they've all been working their asses
absolutely
off to make this happen. But as we've said from the beginning, it's an, if you build it, they will come mentality, or at least that's what we see.
Gotta lay the first
in fact, the Rio OKC Twitter account did tweet a GIF out of,
I believe it's pronounced GIF.
No. I pronounce it GIF. It's not peanut butter. Okay. It is an animated picture. And they tweeted out the, if you build it, we will come, in reference to Miller Stadium. So I know they were talking about the turf, but
look, all I'm saying
is it's a long way to say, I mean, no offense to anyone in the front office, but over 2,000 people, I'd be really delighted, because then we can build on that.
Look, all I'm saying is that when the guy that invented it says it's called a GIF, you call it a GIF.
Yeah, but he just invented it. What the hell does he know?
I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
He has some bearing on how you pronounce the word.
Well, maybe he should have spelled it with a J then.
I have no problem with people calling it GIF. Don't make fun of me for calling it a GIF.
I'm not. I'm just saying.
There's a vocal minority.
It sounds like you're talking about peanut butter. Can we get back to soccer talk?
Fine.
GIF.
Next week's episode?
So I say 2,000. You say 3,500.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And then let's hope it grows from there.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I'm excited to see kind of the whole setup. I mean, there's supposed to be a beer garden. I want to see how they do the stadium. Will there be banners, lighting? You know, apparently there's a mascot, right?
Yes.
We get to see the,
there's a yet to be named, yet to be announced mascot.
Apparently.
We still don't have jerseys yet. I mean, it's Monday of game week, and we're
understandable that might get kind of rushed, but yeah. We saw the picture that the jerseys are en route from Canada.
I think that was the turf.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we bought the turf from a Canadian company. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. That was actually the fields. That was actually the turf field.
Okay.
Let's
talk about what we're going to talk about next week.
Next week, we'll have a probably huge episode. So we've got FC Edmonton Saturday, home opener. So next week, we'll want to cover that. And then we'll go straight into week two preview, which is Carolina, another home game.
Okay.
So the Carolina Railhawks will be coming in Saturday, April 9th. So we'll be talking about that. That's the first head-to-head home game with the other professional soccer team in town. So
big night, big
maybe
night.
A good measuring stick. I don't know. You know, are those fan bases mutually exclusive yet? We'll see. And then after that, we'll have almost two full weeks off before the team goes on the road to play Miami. So, yeah, all we're right. here. The season's starting.
I'm excited.
We made it to the season start. We're still doing a podcast. I don't know how many people are still listening to it, but
we're going to get on iTunes soon, we promise.
Yes, we're working on iTunes. Big shout out to Midfield Press. Go out and read our season preview if you haven't yet. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, thanks for listening. We will report back in due time. Peace out.